Donald John Trump is the Lionheart. Remember old King Richard Lionheart? To have the heart of a lion. To be bold. To be brave. Hello, Father Noah Waldman. Proverbs 28:1. You can see it here on the screen. The wicked man fleeth when no man pursueth, but the just, bold as a lion, shall be without dread. Proverbs 28:1. I am still disappointed in Christian men, Catholic men, and yes, even you Catholic women who are whining and crying. Don't be weak. The wicked man fleeth when no man pursueth, but the just, bold as a lion, shall be without dread. I want to go over two things on this video. The first is Donald Trump as a fighter, our identity as fighters. And I'm also going to look at how Twitter is censoring the President of the United States. Look at this. I'm going to show more of these, but look at this one right here. Look at this. I hope President Trump rails against social media corporations, and that's what they are, it's corporations. After all this dust settles, they censor him and place interpretations over his tweets. What is this? Is this America? What is going on? What is going on? I'm going to share this also with you. I posted this earlier. Joe Biden, let me see if I can make this a little bit bigger for you. Is this going to work? Yeah, here we go. Here we go. Nice. And move this down. Move it down. It won't go down. All right, we're just going to have to live with this. It's not going to move. Oh, there we go. Joe Biden and Democrats overreached with fake mail votes and dead people votes. And now it's obvious. It's like a second grader science project created by the parent. It's obvious. You know, when your kid goes to the science fair and they have, you know, some popsicle sticks and some wire and some glue and some styrofoam and some spray paint, it looks pretty pathetic. And then you look over and there's some kid who has like the entire universe with the moon and the earth and Mars and Venus and Saturn, and it's perfect and beautiful. And everyone knows that that second grader didn't create that beautiful project. Everybody knows that. That was the parent who intervened and created this perfect project for the second grader. That's exactly what we see now as Americans. We realize that there's no ways you can have counties 90% turnout, counties with 200% participation. That's quite the participation grade. People are putting in the names of dead people and we're finding their votes in these swing states. It is so obvious. And the Democrats think we are dumb. The Democrats think we are stupid. And they have reason to believe that. Why? Here's what else I wrote. I don't know if you can see it. It's kind of a little tiny on the screen. And Democrats think we're stupid because they said, stay in your house and destroy America's greatest economy. And we obeyed them like fools. And so Democrats think they can trick us again by turning in fake votes for a fake election. But they have a problem. Now, before I talk about their problem, I want everybody to go on Facebook, Twitter, Parler, all these places, and we need to make the term fake election trend. It's got a trend. I would really like President Trump to assume the win, to prepare to be the president for the next 4 years. I think he has to assume the win as he fights. As we read in Proverbs 28:1, but the just, bold as lion, shall be without dread. I don't think it's dishonest. I think it's the way that we'll bring about peace and a proper transition. And I don't know what the solution here. Obviously, I liked President Trump's tweet when he said, any vote cast after November 3rd must be invalid. We cannot draw on elections. That's election day, November 3rd, not 4 a.m. November 4th or 6 a.m. or, oh, look, another truck showed up. Oh, and by the way, these are Biden votes. Even one of my kids was smart enough to say, you think they'd put in a little bit of Trump there to make that fake line look a little bit more curved. You know the one I'm talking about, the one that's been all over the place now? I was one of the very first ones to post it. Here it is. You can see in Michigan, sometime after 6 a.m., there's that nice round natural Trump curve, and then there's the nice round Biden curve, and then bloop, straight north, Biden votes. Same thing in Wisconsin. Nice round curve for Republican votes. The Democrat on this one actually is a little bit more jittery. Makes me suspicious of what was going on before that. But then look what happens right before 6 a.m., maybe around 4 or 5 a.m. Boom. And it's just enough to go over the red line of the Republicans. They think we are so stupid, but we're not. But we're not. Now, here's the problem for the Democrats. I tweeted this a few hours ago. The problem for the Democrats is that the Republican challenger is not a golly gee whiz soy boy like Mitt Romney. Rather, it's the lion-hearted warrior Donald John Trump. And he will wage war tirelessly for his election and for the American people. Pray for truth and justice. Pray for the lion heart. That's what this is about. People saying, well, Taylor, I don't know. Looks like we're going to lose. Wish you would just stop talking about it. Looks like we lost. No. No. This is far from over. I think this is going to go weeks. I think this is going to go weeks, and it's going to go to courts, and it's going to be messy, and there's going to be demonstrations, and there's going to be protests. Our side should always be peaceful. But this is not going away, and President Trump has already shown his heart. President Trump said, let me see if I can find it here, this, teeth out, we're going after it, we're fighting it. The just, bold as a lion, shall be without dread. So I don't want any more of these effeminate Republicans, effeminate Christians, effeminate Catholics, men crying on their wife's sleeves. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Come on. Get a rosary. You know? Pray 15 decades today. I don't usually pray on this rosary, but I've been praying this rosary. It's a red rosary for Red Wave and the blood of Jesus. And it's a rosary from the Holy Sepulcher in Jerusalem, where I was last year. And we got to just pray. We got to pray and be bold. You know, Thomas Aquinas defines effeminacy, softness, as the aversion to do that which is hard. You got something hard to do? I don't want to do that. In our family, we have a little joke called, someone got dishwater diarrhea. That means it's time to wash the dishes. And then someone said, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. And they disappear in the bathroom for the next 4 or 5 minutes while everybody finishes the dishes. And they come back. Okay, I'm ready to help with the dishes. Oh, it's done. Dishwasher diarrhea. That is a sign of aversion to something that's hard. And actually, washing dishes isn't even that hard. But we, as people, especially Americans, have been conditioned to have everything easy. You hungry, babe? Call up the Uber. They'll bring us hot food right to our door. Oh, our kids, we don't really need to catechize them. We'll just drop them off at that liberal Novus Ordo church and they'll make them Catholic. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to do the hard thing of learning our faith, reading the Bible, teaching our kids the prayers, taking it up for ourselves. We'll just outsource that to someone else. That's softness. That's weakness. And you do that 100 times, 1,000 times, and then you get to where we are now where people are like, I don't know, I don't know. And they told us to lock ourselves in our houses for 3 months and to always wear a mask. There's people walk. I've seen people jogging and riding their bike. They're wearing a mask. They're in a car by themselves and they're wearing a mask. I had a lady who cut my hair and she says, I like these masks so much. Even when it's over, I'm going to keep wearing a mask. What? And this is why the Democrats and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi, this is why they're doing what they're doing, because they have made fools of us over and over and over. And they think they can do it one more time. And then when I hear people saying, I don't know, I think we lost it. What are we going to do? Whoa, whoa, whoa. It is not over. It's barely even halftime yet. You can't concede the game. But I just think there's so many of us that have gotten soft. Another example is the churches are closed. Lay people, fathers, leaders, spiritual leaders of the family. Okay. Can't go to church, kids. What? You're telling these people, millions of Catholics, you can't go to Mass. Can't go to confession. Can't get last rites. Can't get funerals. A previous generation, there would have been thousands and thousands of men, spiritual leaders, storming the bishop's palace, the bishop's rectory, the governor's palace, saying, we want the sacraments. We want Jesus Christ. None of this. Sorry. No Easter this year. Watch a live stream. What? And then we're going to have this December. Sorry. No Christmas Mass. No midnight Mass. And then all the dopey dads, the weak spiritual leaders, the families are like, okay. Guess what, kids? We get to sleep in on December 25th. We must be lion-hearted. Probably what scares me the most is not Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden. These are fake Catholics, right? They say they're Catholic. They use Catholicism as a way of having a religiosity and to appeal to leftists, Catholics, not even Catholics, modernists, people who have left the Catholic Church but still have some sort of religious identity, right? It's good to be able to say G-O-D every once in a while in a speech, even though the Democrats hardly even do that anymore. They're not the ones that I fear. The ones that I fear is we're going in, you know, think of like your favorite World War II movie where they're going into Normandy, or, you know, if you like Tolkien, they're, you know, going, you know, you got Helm's Deep or one of those major battles going on. What I'm concerned about in 2020 is I'm looking to my left, I'm looking to my right, I'm looking behind me. We got our weapons, and there's a lot of people with regard to the church and the state, deep church, deep state. They're like, I just don't know if I can go on anymore. Effeminacy. Gee, Taylor. Maybe we should just like surrender to these guys. I just don't know if we can keep doing this. We're outnumbered. He's the bishop. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of the people who, when things get rough and we move in and we're in formation, they break formation, or they drop their weapons, they give up, or worst of all, they start to attack us. Instead of moving on, it turns into friendly fire. Or maybe when it's looking a little desperate, they say, yeah, yeah, it's those guys over there. Those tratty people over there, they're causing all the problems. Don't hurt us. We'll settle for one mass a year. Those people over there, they're radical. Those people over there, they're extremists. That's what I'm getting to be concerned about. Or when it comes to the political, I'm starting to worry a little bit about some of these Republicans who may be seen to be more than rhinos, Republican in name only. But now that their commander-in-chief, Donald Trump, is taking heavy hits full on, they're a little quiet. They're not speaking up. Why? Where are our friends? Where are our allies? So I think the Democrats know. They think we're stupid. They think we're naive. If they say, go back in your house for 3 months, don't do anything, close down your business, okay. Don't have Easter, don't have Christmas anymore, okay. You're the bishop, you're the governor, you're Kamala Harris. They're counting on that. They're counting on that. And as things move on over the next month, if there's resistance, guess what they're going to do to stop it? Coronavirus. Everybody go back in your house. Can't be outside. No public demonstrations. No prayer meetings. No church services. No mass. No Eucharistic processions. Oh, no March for Life. That just got canceled. COVID resurgence. They're counting on that. And then I think they're also realizing that those of us trying to fight this fight are getting discouraged, are getting broken down, and some of us, I think, on the political and spiritual level, are starting to get ready to turn their backs on their allies. I've seen it already. I felt it already from some people. Doesn't bother me. We're going to keep fighting by God's grace. Yeah, people call what I'm talking about toxic masculinity. Why? Because they want these kind of voices to go away. They want the Homer Simpson dad. Okay, no mass. Go home, kids. Get to sleep in on Sundays. Maybe we'll read one Bible verse on Sunday. No. So we need to double down in our prayers. We need to get on our knees. When you wake up in the morning, you get down on your knees and you pray on your knees. When you pray the rosary, get down on your knees. When you say, God, I'm serious. I'm getting down in a penitent, humble position before God. And I'm begging you to intervene. So, here's a question from someone, Nick Strickland. What do we lay people do? What do we lay people do? You pray the rosary every day. You read the Bible every day. You learn your catechism. You vote. You talk this up. You take up space. Outside my house right now are still Trump flag, Trump signs, statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary, statue of St. Francis. If you drive by my house, you know what's going on inside this house. No white flags. No white flags. Take up space. Yes, write your bishop, write your governor. But you know what I found over the past couple of years is more effective? People say, I'm going to email my bishop. I'm going to write a letter. Those letters, by the way, just go right into the circular filing cabinet. They throw them away. They laugh at us lay people. They don't care. Bishops and politicians respond to two stimuli. Shame and money, or lack thereof of money. If there is enough pressure in the public eye Bishop so-and-so did the wrong thing. They get scared and they back down. The shame. They'll close down a parish secretly, but if suddenly everybody gets, why are you closing down that parish? That's where I was baptized. We raised money for that parish. You promised us we could have this parish. Now you're shutting it down and selling it to some Protestant sect. You start doing that, then the bishops start getting a little scared. Because they bishops, for the most part in America, are not virtuous when it comes to fortitude. Remember we talked about what effeminacy is? It's the unwillingness to do that which is hard. So if things get kind of hard and there's lots of pressure, they cower and they go away. Same thing with politicians. They're worried. They want to make it to that next election. That's all they think about. And the other thing is money. Money starts drying up. People in their department, whether they're a bishop or a governor, hey, we don't have the funds for this. I think we might need to let go of three people. I don't know if we can pay the pension. Hey, you know that loan we took out? The payments are due. Ooh, this really puts some pressure on people. So we put a spiritual interdict on bishops who were doing the wrong thing. You still have to support the church and the pastors of the church. You're under an obligation by ecclesiastical positive law to support the church, but it doesn't explain exactly how you support the pastors. If your bishop is Cardinal Supich, you can support another pastor or shepherd. It could be a local priest, a pastor in another parish, a bishop in another part of the world. You could support Bishop Athanasius Schneider. You just have to support the pastors of the church. As I understand it, I've looked into it. That's my understanding. If I'm wrong, someone please correct me, but that's how I understand it. So that's what we lay people do. We'll maybe take a couple more questions before I sign off here. And if you do have a question, please put a question mark at the beginning and at the end. Because when I see the question, there's hundreds of comments. And so I'm just scrolling with my hand because I can't read all the comments because I'm talking to you right now. So as I'm scrolling, if I see question marks, I pause and then I read the question. That's why I always say, please, please use a question mark. By the way, if you're enjoying this video, please hit the like button and give it a thumbs up. Please share it on Facebook and Twitter. And please subscribe by hitting the bell. When I go live, you'll be notified. People are saying we should fast. We should. Maybe we go to two meals a day. All right, here's a question. Mitch, someone asked, what do we do if Biden wins? See how she used question marks right there? That's great. I love that. Thank you, Mitch. We do what we always done. Do you remember what it was like to live under Barack Obama? Or what Christians did when they lived under Diocletian? Or Nero? Or any tyrant? You pray, you receive the sacraments, you live your vocation. If you're a priest, you be the best priest possible. If you're a monk or a nun or a brother, you do that the best way possible by the grace of God. If you're a parent, you love your spouse, you sanctify your home and your kids the best way possible. If you're a soldier, best soldier possible. Always keeping everything oriented to Jesus Christ. Well, what if they come and they raise our taxes? Well, we're going to have to pay higher taxes. What if healthcare goes up? And sadly, we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer. What if they say we can't go to Mass on Sunday anymore? Well, we get proactive. We create underground railroads of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Those priests are out there. I've spoken to them. They exist. These are the heroic priests, not the hirelings. And they are going to minister to us. What if they take away the Mass all the way? All right, that's a bridge pretty far, but it could happen. We pray our rosaries. We make spiritual communions. We do the best we can. What is the worst possible thing they could do to us? Kill us. Then we're martyrs. We get to skip heaven. I'm not saying that lightly. I know that it would be horrible and painful, and we can only endure that by God's grace and his mercy. So I'm not saying that I'm the poster boy for that, because without God's grace, I might become an apostate. I might deny our Lord. That's why we always pray the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's a request. It's a request. Good question. You know what's kind of cool about this? I was talking to Father Dave Nix last night, and here are two outcomes. Trump wins. We get a first down. We get four more downs, four more years. We get to hold off the Great Reset. We get to hold off this axis between China and the United States, creating a global axis of persecution and globalism and a tech world, a tech state run by billionaires. If we don't make it, and I think we are, I'm still optimistic and I think Trump is going to win. We are only 2 days in. We knew, everyone knew this was going to happen. It was going to be a delay. We all knew this. But if Trump somehow doesn't, oh, did I say skip heaven? I meant skip purgatory. My bad. Sorry. You know, if you're a martyr, you skip purgatory and you go straight to heaven. Thank you for correcting me. Right? You pay all of your temporal punishment, all your temporal debt by conforming perfectly to Christ in martyrdom. You skip purgatory and you go straight to heaven. I misspoke. Thank you for correcting me. But Father Nix and I were also saying the other scenario where we go under a totalitarian, globalist, tech billionaire state is suddenly the Catholic Church starts to get purified. It won't be easy and it won't be convenient to be a Catholic who loves and observes the tradition and the scripture and the magisterium of the church. And so we might actually get the reform of the Catholic Church, and it will be painful and it won't be instantaneous. But either outcome, Jesus Christ calls us to do the exact same thing, which is wake up in the morning and pray. Avoid sin, venial and mortal. If we do commit mortal sin, to go to confession, to pray at our meals, three meals a day, and to teach our children to do that, to pray the rosary every day, to sit down in a chair with a Bible and read the Bible, to drive to a Catholic church and attend the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, to observe Sunday as a holy day and the holy days of obligation. In the evening, when we go to bed, to bless our children and our spouses, to pray with them. And at the very end of your day, make a reflection. God, how did I fail you today? How did I sin? Am I getting better? Am I breaking bad habits? And I think it's also okay to say, what did I do well for you today, Lord, by your mercy, by your grace? What did I do well, and how can I do that again for you? Doesn't matter who the Trump, who the Pope is. Doesn't matter who the president is. That formula that I just laid out for you is 365 days a year. You always do it. You always do it. I'll take a couple more questions, and then we'll sign out here. Okay. I don't see that's a question. Use a question mark and make it a real question. How do you find a holy and Catholic woman to marry? Well, I talked about this on Tuesday, and then Joy came in and joined me. And I thought it would be politically incorrect, and I thought all of you would throw tomatoes at you, but you all agreed, so I'll just repeat it again. The problem in traditional Catholic communities is a lot of the best, holiest, saintly people believe this, what I'm about to say. Well, I wear the brown scapular, and I pray the rosary every day, and I go to daily mass, and I pray the Roman Breviary, and I'm traditional Latin mass, and I did the first Fridays, etc. So that means all the hottest Catholic trad women in the world are going to flock to me because of my amazing piety. It's so sexy. And on Tuesday, I said, it's true that great Catholic women want men who take their faith seriously, who will lead them to Christ, lead the children to Christ, and be a man of virtue. All of that is extremely attractive to women. But it's not all. You have to be a man of boldness, fortitude, adventure, and you have to do things like brush your teeth, dress well, work out. Oh, Taylor, you're so vain. Doesn't matter how we dress. Yeah. If you want to catch the, as he says, the holy and Catholic woman to marry, they don't want a guy with stinky breath, messy hair, although I do have messy hair today. Dressed like a dweeb. And yes, you should lift weights and work out and have interesting hobbies and be someone that's fun to be around. And then you just turn the tables and you say the same thing. Catholic women. Are people throwing tomatoes at me yet? People don't like this. People really don't like when I talk about this. Catholic women. They're like, well, I wear the brown scapular and I pray the rosary and I do the novenas and I go to the traditional Latin mass and I wear a veil. So, you know, who's a famous actor? I don't know, Brad Pitt's so old now. I don't know. So, you know, Mr. Super attractive, heartthrob, trad Catholic is just going to show up on my doorstep and sweep me away. Okay, yes, all men, they don't want to marry a floozy. They want to marry a woman who is virtuous and who's pious, who will be a great mom, who has patience and kindness and feminine energy and warmth. They want all that, right? But they also want someone they can go on a date with and have fun and be romantic with and flirt with and be attractive. Oh, here comes the tomatoes. They're hitting me. So, you know, wearing a dirty denim jumper is maybe an impediment to finding that right Catholic guy. Wearing brown's cool, but wearing scapular brown clothes all the time, maybe not the burst of feminine energy and loveliness that Mr. Trad Catholic Chad Stud is going to jump over or jump through hoops or jump over pews to find you, to get you. So what I'm trying to say is you must turn everything up to 11 in your piety and in your Catholicism, but you also have to eat right, exercise, lift weights, go on a run, dress nice, style your hair, brush your teeth, be fun, have energy, be the kind of person that's fun to be around. So I hope everyone doesn't hate me now. So many people think, well, if we could just, especially men, they're like, well, I'm so trad and I'm so pious. I'm like, yeah, but you act like a nerd and you dress like a nerd. You're a good guy, but you have to realize that the way that a woman responds to a man is not just praying the rosary, right? Women know that they need protectors, warriors, providers, and all that. So are you a warrior? Are you a protector? And can you provide for her when she has 5 children? Those are all questions going around in her mind. So you just saying, I pray 15 decades a day. She loves that. That's great. But she's not swooning. All right. Oh, yes. I forgot to mention, if I really want to get politically incorrect, someone on here said, and men also like women who can cook. And that is true. Because you have to eat 3 times a day and going out to eat is very expensive. So I'll tell you, my favorite thing, I'm going to be honest with you guys. My favorite thing is when I come home, it's 5:25. I open the back door and I immediately smell something good cooking, like a pot roast, meat and onions, that combination. I think my wife's mother told her, just always put some onions in a skillet before your husband comes home. And that smell, when he comes home, he'll be like, oh, this is great. And then this sound, they're all going to make fun of me. Oh my goodness. You're all going to make fun of me. Come home and I smell that good food cooking. And I come in And there's Joy, and she's got some fresh lipstick on. She has a nice dress on, and her hair looks good. I know she just did it because I know during the day with eight kids, it didn't stay like that. And says, "Hey, honey, how's your day?" Oh, that's just the best thing ever for a man. That's the best thing for a man. Or, "Oh, here, let me make you a scotch." Oh, even so awesome. So amazing. And y'all probably thinking I'm the most patriarchal, misogynistic. I like this quote. Oh, I missed it. This is the best. No, wake up and smell the garlic. Yes, that's correct. That's correct. I like this quote here. Let me find. Oh, this is the best quote of the day. This is from De Perouse. Onions and lipstick. That's it right there. That's it. That's the win. People are going to record this and clip it and make fun of me, and I don't even care. Yeah, women should be beautifully honest. Beautifully modest. That's correct. And you know, people always say, where does your wife, they see pictures, where does your wife get her veil? It's so beautiful. Where does she get all these beautiful dresses? This stuff is not expensive. That's what's so shocking. You know, you can go online and find modest, nice dresses, and they are not expensive. And they last for a long time. If you just get classic designs, it's great. People say, "Marshall, where do you get those tailored suits? Man, you look good. You know, it looks tight, you know? How do you do that?" I have people come to me at church. "Where do you get that?" Here, let me show you a picture here. People look at, that looks good, man. Where'd you get that? That's an off-the-rack J. Crew suit that was on sale that my wife found. That's what that is. It's not even tailored. It's just off the rack. It doesn't cost money. And you know what? Those suits, they last for 10 years, 12 years. The dress shoes that I wear to church on Sunday, I've had those things since at least 11 years. So it's not that hard. You need to look sharp. And women, I think a lot of women resent it, especially when a man says it. So maybe I need the women. Maybe we need to get Joy to come up here to say, "Hey, your husband's working all day. You've been working hard too. But make that landing, when he lands at home, make that a great moment for him. He so appreciates that. That's maybe the highlight of a married man's life, is that coming home and just having that great connection with his wife's feminine love and her feminine energy. Yes, through his stomach. All right, one more question. Y'all agree with me, or do you think I'm a total jerk? What do y'all think? Huh? I'm seeing a lot of women comment. She likes a man who wears boots. That's another thing I tell Catholic guys. A lot of Catholic guys talk to me about how to get married. And I say, what is the very first thing a woman looks at on you? And they don't know. They're like, "My face?" I'm like, "No, your shoes." A woman always looks at your shoes first, because your shoes tell her what you do for a living and whether you're on top of things. Your shoes kind of reveal your social status. And then if they also show, do you shine your shoes? Do you care for your shoes, etc.? So don't be the guy who just wears dad jeans and old beat up running shoes. That's a disqualifier, right, ladies? Right, ladies? Yeah, they're all agreeing. This is great. Finally, I have all these. Oh, yeah, she says shoes and watch. Yeah, shoes and watch. My wife says that on her first date. She says that she noticed my shoes and my watch. And you don't have to spend a lot of money. Everybody thinks this watch is a Rolex. They're like, "Man, your watch is so nice." This is a Invicta. I think it's $100 or something. But everybody's like, "That's such a nice watch." It's cheap. Not even that. I got kids. I'm not going to dress like that. So it's not that hard. You just have to spend a little thought, a little time. And how do we even get on this? We're supposed to be talking about Donald Trump and the Lionheart. So any questions? I love it. I love looking at all these comments. I think all the men have left the chat. There's 2,000 something people here. I think all the men have left the chat, and this has turned into a dating advice program, which is not what I wanted to do. This lady says, yes, we look at shoes, and with me also the teeth. It says whether you care about yourself. See, this is what I'm telling you. You know, there's so many good Catholic guys that have weird hairdos and bad breath or yellow teeth. It's not good. You need to be the full package. You need to be the full package. Okay, any more? Where did all the men go? This is a question that I've noticed that women over 30 ask me all the time. And I tell them they went to pornography, sadly. Pornography makes a man very effeminate, very weak. Because instead of having to walk up to a woman or to engage with a real woman, which is difficult sometimes, they just turn on the internet. It's way easier. And that's where all the men went, pornography. Where did all the women go, by the way? They went to the birth control pill. These, are, I think, are the two poles. The easy life for the man is pornography, and the easy life for the woman is contraception, birth control pill. And both of them sort of rearrange the mind and the soul of the person and makes it hard for them to enter into wedlock. It's very sad. It's very sad. All right, one more question. How do women make it? Why am I doing dating right now? This is kind of dumb. Why? This is the last question. This is, how do women make it easier for men to approach them? Smile and be flirty. And by flirty, I don't mean like obnoxious, but it just means to smile, to laugh, to engage, you know, feminine charm. A lot of guys, if there's three somewhat attractive women, the one that's the easiest one to talk with and engage with, they'll just go with that one. You know, it's sort of like there's so much investment and so much difficulty in actually engaging with the woman that sometimes it's easiest just to go with the one who laughs and smiles and, you know, is accessible. Guys don't want to hang out with an ice queen. So there you go. So smile, I think. Smart men are sexy. Yes, they are. That's why women like humor, because humor shows that you're smart. Only smart people can make funny jokes. Okay, I'm done. I'm done, folks. I'm not going to talk about dating anymore. Should have never answered that first question. So Donald Trump, Lionheart, Proverbs 28:1. The wicked man fleeth when no man pursueth, but the just, bold as a lion, shall be without dread. To be without dread, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Men and women, don't be afraid. Trump's going to fight it. Trump's going to fight it, and I think Trump's going to win. Even if he doesn't, we still do what we always do. Always do. One final comment. This is great. I'm going to close up on this. Kelly says, Dr. Marshall, we talking about this effeminate men, that's how this happened. I agree. How did we get shut down churches, and how did we get all this bad stuff in the church? Effeminate priests and effeminate bishops and effeminate dads who let it happen. That's how we got here. And then how do we get this to this place in America? Men, effeminacy, not doing that which is hard. I don't know, Taylor. Let's just give up and binge Netflix. Let's eat some more fries, pizzas, drink more beer, get fat and disgusting and do nothing. No, I don't think so. That's not how you make America great again. It's not how you make Catholicism holy again. And we're going to beat this fake election by having some fortitude. People say, oh, Donald Trump says bad words, his past, etc. You got to hand it to Donald Trump. When it comes to the fight and when it comes to bravery and fortitude, I can't think of any president like him in the last 100 years. The guy is a warrior. The guy has the heart of a lion. All right, we're going to pray the Hail Mary. I'm going to pray all this the Hail Mary for, of course, our nation. We're going to do two Hail Marys. Kind of feel like I should do that. The first one will be for our nation, for this election. The second one will be for all you single people out there looking for Mrs. and Mr. Right. All right. Oremos. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Now for our second intention. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et hora mortis nostrae. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, everybody. God bless you. Godspeed. I'll be back. So make sure you subscribe and hit the bell. You subscribe and hit the bell, and then you'll be notified when I go live again later on. And please share this video, and please like it. All right. God bless and Godspeed. Oh, I forgot to say pray the rosary every day. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said, you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. Be salty.